Now, this is recording number 208, Brother Rick Randolph. It's all yours, Rick.
Well, thank you, Skip.
Yes, sir.
You know, that testimony you just shared, that blessing you just shared, wow, I just kind of got tears in my eyes talking about
Amen. How
the Lord took care of that situation for you, you know.
Amen.
Those of you that don't know Mike, Skip's son, I got to say, because I was fortunate enough to get to know Skip at a young age, he is a chip off the old block. The acorn didn't fall far from that tree, in other words.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing that, brother.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, this morning, as I was preparing last night, I really didn't feel as though I needed to just... My first thoughts as I began to prepare, I started writing things down on a blank piece of paper, and I got a full sheet done, and I was starting to go to the second sheet, and I thought, you know what? The Holy Spirit came over me and just said, you don't need to script this. You don't need to script this. You just need to trust me. And so... This morning, I haven't been up very long. I actually texted Brother Skip last night and asked him to give me a wake-up call this morning, which he was gracious enough to do about 30 minutes ago. And when I went to bed last night, I didn't feel as though I was really ready to do this. I didn't really feel like I was ready to come on here and talk to you all and have I didn't feel real comfortable, but yet... When I went to bed, the last thing I asked God to do was just give me a sweet sleep that I'd be able to, when I woke up in the morning, that I would be ready for this. And I feel like maybe he has done that, or he is in the process. I don't really even know what all I'm supposed to tell you yet this morning, but one of the things I want to do, maybe something a little different than what we've done on here before, is I want to give those of you that would like to an opportunity when I get done this morning to just share what this line means to you. And after I give my testimony, I'm going to share a little bit about what this line means to me and what it has done for me. And I just want to open it up after that to let others of you share. So be thinking about that if you would. I'd like to just ask Sister Susan if she wouldn't mind just opening this in prayer, and I'd appreciate it if you'd do that, sister.
God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just thank you so much for being in our presence, Holy Spirit. We thank you for guiding Brother Rick this morning and everything he's going to say, Lord. We ask you to give him the right words, the right time to say them. And Lord, we ask you to bless each and every person that's on this line this morning. And Lord, bless the ones that aren't here this morning that couldn't be here. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for letting us have this anointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. Well, as I was preparing, thinking about what I was supposed to say or just seeking God and what it was he wanted me to share with you all today, one of the things that I noticed that kept popping up in the last couple of days was, and I can't explain this, but Maybe you'll understand where this is coming from, but the Ten Commandments kept just seemed like everywhere I turned the last couple of days, the Ten Commandments popped up. And I don't know about you all, but I had not really thought much about the Ten Commandments. It's not something that I could probably, if I was asked out on the street to quote the Ten Commandments, I could probably come up with about five of the ten. Maybe if I really thought hard, I could maybe come up with six, just verbatim. But for some reason, I'm supposed to do this morning. I'm going to read to you the Ten Commandments. And as I read these, as you sit there, whether it be driving down the highway or if you're sitting there in your home, wherever you're at, just as I read one, put it in the yes or the no column in your life. And when we get done, I'm not going to ask how many you have on the yes column and how many you have on the no column. That's not for me to know. But just think about this as I read them. But number one, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. Number six, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the tenth one is, thou shalt not covet. Now, I don't know about you all, but there are definitely more in my yes column, more of these that I have committed than in my no column. And, you know, as I was pondering this last night, I was looking this over and I just thought, wow, you know, how many of these do we need to commit? How many of these do we need to break, I should say, before we are actually condemned, basically condemned to hell? And some of you might say, well, Brother Rick, this was for those in the Old Testament. Okay, let's suppose that they are. That's all right. They're still in the Bible, right? And I still feel like we need to not forget about them because they're still in the Bible. So anyway, for whatever reason, and I don't, like I said earlier, I don't know why, but I was to read those and give you all something to think about. How many of them would need to be broken in order to be condemned to hell? I'm not sure any of them. At least one of them would maybe, but maybe none, because I think the Bible talks about being condemned already. So anyway, take that for what it's worth, and I will move on. Philippians 4, get to my spot here in Philippians. Paul, the writer of Philippians, is talking to the Philippian people here. And I've got my little New Testament out here, and the printing on it's pretty small here. But it says in Philippians 4, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now in the last, your care of me hath flourished again. Therefore we are also careful, but lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, I'm sorry, it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I tell you what, that's some powerful promises there, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, Brother Skip asked me to give my testimony, and that was part of what I started writing down last night, and I started basically, I just going to have it all scripted out, and the plan was I was just going to read it to you. And like I said, I got one page on a blank piece of paper, I got a page filled out, and Holy Spirit just came over me and said, you know, you're not going to need to read that. So here goes. I am very blessed to have been raised in a Christian home. I thank the Lord so much for that. That is a blessing. I've heard some of you on here talk, give your testimony and tell how you were raised in a Christian home, and there's been some that have got on here and not been that blessed, not have that blessing, not been able to have had that blessing. And such a blessing to be raised in a Christian home. And I just thank the Lord for those of you that were not raised in a Christian home, that you are where you're at today, that you're on this line. It's just great to hear. But my folks from a very early age got us in church. I started out actually from about birth up into about probably 5-6 years old. We were at a Methodist church, and actually went, and if you, any of you been in a Methodist church, back then, I don't know how they are now, but back then actually had candle lighters. First thing that happened in the morning was the candle lighters followed in the preacher and lit candle, and at the end of the service you'd go back out and put those candles out. And that was one of my jobs. That was a job I had for just a short period of time. And I think sometime between around 6 years old, my dad felt as though we should maybe try another church. So we visited. I can't recollect exactly how this all happened, but somewhere around close to 7 years old, we began going to a Baptist church. And it was along about that time, probably, well, let me back up a minute. Also at 7 years old, my folks were involved in something here in Kansas City called Kansas City Youth for Christ. Some of you that lived around this area may be familiar with Kansas City Youth for Christ. It was a great ministry the Metzger family had here in Kansas City. They had a Youth for Christ Circle C Ranch outside Kansas City that just did some mighty, mighty great things. And one of those Youth for Christ rallies on a Saturday night, after listening to then Miss America 1966, I believe, Vonda K. Van Dyke. She came and gave a message, and the message she gave was talking about sin and what you needed to do if you realized that you were a sinner, that you weren't going to go to heaven. Sin cannot enter into heaven. It's one of the things I remember at 7 years old. And the invitation was given, and I went forward at 7 years old in that big auditorium. I mean, I would probably go in that auditorium today, and I probably wouldn't seem so big. But at 7 years old, it was a very large auditorium, probably, 4 or 5 times bigger than a typical basketball court, I guess you'd say. So give you an idea how big. But I'll tell you, at 7 years old, it was kind of scary, I think. But I can remember bits and pieces of that night, but I went forward, and I remembered being taken off into a little room, and a man went through and showed me in the Bible some verses, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior on that night. I guess that's been about 47 years ago. So yeah, 47 years ago. So anyway, you know, I don't remember a lot of my youth as far as from 7 to, I can kind of start recollecting a few things. One of the things I do remember, though, is probably about the age of 8 is when the good Lord, in all his mighty grace and power and glory, allowed a guy that I call a good friend to come into my life, Brother Skip Etheridge. In third grade, I was in third grade class, and I don't remember when, what time of year it was. It was, I believe it was early in the year. I don't think we'd been going to school very long. We're in the Mrs. Lincoln. I don't know why I can remember her name back in third grade, but I can. But I was in Miss Lampkin's third grade class, and we heard the door knock, and everyone in the class turned, and enters Mrs. Matthews, the superintendent at the schools, or principal, I think they called her. And behind her, she was a small woman. Behind her, this pretty good-sized guy comes walking in the classroom behind her. And she announced that, introduced Skip as Henry. This is Henry Etheridge. And anyway, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I can't remember if she pulled me aside or what exactly happened. But Skip's family lived out near where my family lived out in the country, and he was going to be on our bus route. So Miss Matthews, my mom drove a bus for our bus route. So Miss Matthews knew this and basically told Skip to just introduced us and told Skip to stay by my side, and I would, lack of better words to use, going to show him the ropes as to how to find the school bus and all that. So anyway, I don't have a lot of recollection about much for quite some time, but as the years went by, I think Skip and I, there was two classes for each grade, and I think we, I'd say for a few years, we hit and miss. Sometimes we'd be in the same class, and sometimes we wouldn't, but as the years went by, we grew closer as friends. There'd be times when I would spend the night over at Skip's house, and Skip would spend the night over at my house, and my sister Kim and Skip's sister Kelly, they became friends also. Same age, just I don't know. The good Lord just has some amazing way of doing things, and oftentimes we don't realize what He's doing until we look back. You know, like we look back on situations and just are in awe. But anyway, I won't go into a lot of detail about Skip's family, my family, and all that happened, but it was just the beginning of what I know to look. I look back now, and I know it was the beginning of something that it just puts a smile on my face to think about what the Lord's done and what He's continuing to do. But little did Skip and I know, or any of us know, that some 46 years ago that Skip would be on this line doing the things that he is doing and following the lead of the Lord and all the great and mighty things that are happening here on the line. And little did I know that I'd be part of that. And I just praise the Lord that He's allowed me to be part of that, part of this. So to go back, I want to go back to, the Lord has brought back to my remembrance something that, well, let me back up just a minute. I was fortunate enough at about, I believe it was beginning of, or middle of junior high, seventh grade. My family, I got in some trouble in school, got in a fight with one of the fellow students, my mom and dad pulled us kids out of public school and decided it was time that we go to a Christian school. So from the seventh grade to 12th grade, we were put into a Christian school there in Kansas City. Tri-City Christian School is the name of it. If any of y'all from Kansas City might know, be familiar with it. And anyway, upon graduating from Tri-City, I was fortunate enough, my mom and dad were able to help me with the finances to go off to college. I was fortunate enough to go to a college, some of you may know of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. I attended 1 year of college there, and talk about a big step. I mean, those of you that went off to college, somewhere probably you were probably around 20 years old, 19. That's a kind of a scary deal, especially to go from where we lived at the time was Denver, Colorado. From Denver, Colorado to Greenville, South Carolina, that was quite a step for me. And a growing up year, that was a year that I really feel like I probably grew up faster that year being away from home than probably any other year. But anyway, I had from saying that, it gives you an idea of the type of background that I have come from. I had some good Christian mom and dad, family, good support system, memorized many, many verses in the Bible. I was involved in church, went out, we had soul winning teams and did all the things that what you think of as being just, I don't know, just real good, living a good Christian life. And shortly after I got back from Bob Jones, I moved back to Missouri. And actually, it was during that time that I came back into contact with Skip and some of our old buddies, Jimmy Affalder, some of the old buddies that I'd hung around with in high school and junior high. I began to, being away from my mom and dad and that Christian home, I began to just ever so slowly begin to drift away. Like if you can picture yourself being in a boat that's just the water that you're in this boat on is just barely moving. I was just barely drifting away. And I was drifting away at such a slow pace, I don't think I even realized I was truly drifting away, if that makes sense to you. But as I drifted away, thank you, Lord. I lost track of. I began to turn my back from God and lose track of my Christian values and just it happened in such a slow manner that I don't think I realized where I was heading. I woke up one day and. And things weren't going too well. I think, in fact, Brother Jimmy and I, we decided it was going to go hit town. It was like a Friday night. I think I woke up on a Saturday morning, and I don't think either one of us realized he ended up spending the night there at my place and woke up that next morning. I don't think either one of us realized how we even got home. It was that bad. We'd gone out and got drunk and up in Kansas City and we're the next morning we wake up and it's morning and I think we're looking at each other like, how in the world did what just happened? But anyway, rather than just getting myself straightened out and seeking God back then, I think I just continued to just creep farther and farther, float farther and farther down that river. And at the time, probably seemed like a river of no return, but I just thank the Lord. A lot of things happened in those years, and I just praise the Lord that He did not ever, one time, did He ever turn His back on me. Even though I turned my back on Him, He never. He was always there. He was there all the time. That entire time that I walked away from the Lord and did the things that I did, He was there. He was always there. Something that I've been remembered that I want to share with you, that something that ended up being a mighty stumbling block, had been a mighty stumbling block in my life, kind of a life-changing thing for me. Was back at about the age of 22. I believe I had gone back out to Colorado where my folks had lived. They had moved out to Colorado. They had moved from Denver down to Colorado Springs. And the church that they were attending, I don't remember if I went out there for a week or what happened exactly, but the church that they were attending had a a father-son fishing trip planned. So I go out there to Colorado to visit, and my little brother, Rodney, who's about 10 years younger than I, had really wanted to go on this father-son fishing trip. Well, my dad, who worked for Montgomery Ward's at the time, was not able to take my little brother on this fishing trip. So big brother, here I am, 20, I'm going to guess 22, 23 years old. My little brother wanted to go really bad. So the only way my dad would allow my little brother to go is if big brother, myself, filled in for him. So my dad told me, I remember him telling me the responsibility, how great a responsibility this was, that we were going to be fishing along a river that basically that, hey, this is your little brother and you are to make sure he gets back here safe. But I'm going to let you all go on this fishing trip. Well, my little brother was overjoyed. He just couldn't wait. And so I'm just kind of going along with the flow here. I'm not super excited, but yet I was excited to the point where I love to fish. And I was excited to get to go fishing. I hadn't done any trout fishing in quite a while. So anyway, we take off, seemed like it was a Friday night, and we go out and we find this stream is up in, I believe it was Buena Vista, Colorado. And this stream I would call it a little more than a stream, maybe a river. It was something you could throw a rock across, but it was a very fast moving river. And so anyway, the men of the church, we got out of the church van and got our fishing gear, and we just basically just headed up to different places. I can't remember if they may have dropped us off at different places down the river to fish. So my little brother and I, of course, I'm remembering what my dad had to say, that, you know, this is your to make sure he gets home. That those words kind of burnt deep in my brain. You are to make sure he gets home safely. So we go out and we're fishing, and I had spotted this one place that looked like it was going to be really good, where it really looks like a lot of fish were going to be. And I knew if I was going to sneak in there to the trout fishing in this place was you had to be really super quiet, and you basically snuck into the places where you're fishing because there were different pools along this river. And I knew that in order for me to sneak in there, I saw these trout. I knew I couldn't have my little brother dragging along behind me. I knew he would have been about 12. I knew I needed to get away from him. I needed to leave him where he was at and go on down to this place so I could catch these fish. I just knew that. So anyway, after kind of he and I having a little argument there, I said, Rodney is his name. I said, Rodney, I said, you're going to stay here. I said, there's a place on down the river here that I want to go to by myself. I said, you just stay right here in this spot. You just keep right on fishing, and everything will be fine, and I'll be back in about 15, 20 minutes. Well, my little brother, I don't know if you all have little brothers or sisters, but they can be, you know, they can deal you fits from time to time. Anyway, he didn't like hearing that, and he kept reminding me of what my dad had just told us before we left, that I was to be make sure he gets home safely. So even though I was reminded of that, I decided I was going to take off downriver. And this place I needed to get to downriver was probably 200 or 300 yards down from where I had left my little brother. So I get on down there, and I had a lot of success. I caught, I don't know, 3 or 4 trout pretty quick, you know. And as I'm catching fish, things kind of slowed down a little bit, and I began to remember what my dad said, to make sure that brother of yours gets home safely. So, well, you know, I probably better be getting back up to my little brother and making sure everything's okay. And this is the life-changing part of this whole story, is that I got back up to where my little brother was supposed to be, and the little pack that he had was sitting there on the bank, and the fishing pole that he had was sitting there, and all the fishing gear, everything was just laid out on the bank there, and there was no Rodney. Rodney was nowhere to be found. And so I hollered out his name, and I thought, oh, he's just, you know, he's just, he was kind of a prankster. He's just messing with me, you know. And so anyway, I started, like, began to walk the banks and looking out in the river to see if I could find my brother. He was nowhere to be seen. I walked up the river a ways and for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, I stayed pretty calm, and then I came back to where he was at, and I re-looked over the situation, evaluated the situation where he was at, and I just, a bad feeling came over me, and I just thought, wow, surely my little brother hasn't fallen into this river. So I began to, as the time passed, I began to panic. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. But so I ran the direction of where the river would have, if he had have fallen in the river, the direction it would have taken him downriver. So I ran downriver, and I'm looking and I'm hollering and no Rodney. There's no Rodney in sight. And I just I got down on my hands and knees on that afternoon there by that river, that roaring river. And I just pleaded with God. I said, God, please allow my little brother to be safe. And I did something that I wouldn't recommend doing, but I made a bargain. I thought I was bargaining with God. As I look back and I think about how that just seems so odd that I would have done this. But during that prayer, I broke down and was crying. I was just very concerned for my brother. I was afraid that he had fallen in the river and drowned. And I made a bargain with God. I said, God, if you will make sure my little brother lives and survives and is alive, I will serve you. I will serve you the rest of my life. So after that prayer, I began to continue to search. I headed back towards where I had originally left my little brother on that bank of that river. And there he is. There he is. And he's got a big smile on his face. And as I get closer to him, his smile gets bigger. And he could tell I was distressed. Well, there's no doubt he knew I was distressed, because what had happened was my little brother played a trick on me. He had was off in the bushes. He told me the story after I calmed down. He said, yeah, I watched you. I could tell you're pretty upset and all, but I just thought you deserved to learn a lesson, because you wasn't supposed to leave me up here by myself. So anyway, folks, I've said all that to say this, I made a promise to God. And even though the promise was basically predicated because my little brother, I thought, might have drowned, even though it was a kind of a deceitful thing that my little brother had done, I still made that promise to God. And I get back to Missouri. After that trip, I go back home to Missouri, and my life didn't change. My life just kept heading down that river, in that boat that was seemingly really going nowhere. I was just adrift. I was adrift in life's day-to-day happenings. And for many years, I just kept drifting away. I kept getting farther and farther away. And I'm getting ready to tell you all a story that I have never shared. I have never shared this story with anyone. God has forgiven me of all of my sins. And I feel as though I'm supposed to share this. This is going to maybe allow someone else to maybe share something that they they had never shared, possibly. I don't know. But at 25 years old, just a few years later, I began to look around, and a lot of my friends were getting married. And here I am, 25, and I don't even have as much as a girlfriend. I just kind of out there just partying and having a good time, what seemed to be a good time at the time. And I don't even have a girlfriend. I'm thinking, wow, man, some of my buddies are going off and getting married, and here I am, 25 years old and not married yet. It just almost seemed like, wow, what's wrong with you, Rick? You're not married yet. So I began to seek out a woman. And I found this gal. I met her at a bar. She was a couple years younger than I. We began dating. Seemed like a pretty good gal. I don't know. It was kind of a blur, to be honest with you. To look back on my life and look at that particular time in my life, it was a blur. But we started dating. I had a good job. The Lord, even though I was not following the Lord at the time, the Lord graciously provided me with a great job. I had begun working for Jack Cooper Transport, hauling cars out of General Motors in Kansas City. My first truck driving job, I believe it was 1983 or so, 84 maybe, when I began the job. But had got my own apartment, and she and I started, like I say, we were dating. And I get this phone call one morning, and she says, I'm pregnant. And I just thought, wow, oh my. Here I am, not married, and I got her pregnant. I got this young lady pregnant. And, you know, being ashamed of that, I was so ashamed. I knew better. I knew better than to have sex outside of marriage. I'd been taught the correct way, what you're supposed to do in life, and that was not something you should be doing. I knew it, but I was that far away from God and just didn't seem to care. So I said, okay. I said, what do you think we should do? And she says, I'm going to have an abortion. And I thought, at 22 years old, I'm thinking, about 25 years old. My mind was racing, and I thought, oh, we can't do that. No, I knew better than that. My Christian values, that just isn't something that you do. You can't do that. Well, as 2 or 3 days passed, and we talked about it more and more, the enemy, I didn't realize at the time, had a complete grip on her. She was very much under the enemy's power. I won't go into a lot of detail about her, but very much the enemy had a grip on her more than I could possibly see. And a few days later, I guess this is why I read the Ten Commandments to you all just a little bit ago, because I committed one of the greatest, the worst. I committed thou shalt not kill. Even though I didn't commit that with my own hands, I paid monetarily for her to have an abortion. I've never told this story before. I paid for her to have an abortion. She went in and had an abortion that morning. It was sad to say. It just seemed like I struggled that morning with the idea But after it was over, she seemed to be happy, and we began just continuing right on down our path, that path that, that just kept leading us farther away from God. And a few months later, we got married. We got married even though I knew down deep in my heart this probably wasn't who I was supposed to be marrying. It just seemed okay for the occasion. As sad as that sounds, it just seemed okay. So I thought, well, all right, let's get married. We got married, folks, and I didn't know it. The Lord had allowed me to build up a pretty good bank account working in this great job that he'd provided for me. In 1983 or 1984, I was making, I think it was 63 cents a mile. Which some of you truck drivers know that's really good wages for back in 1983 and 84. But anyway, I had built up a pretty nice little bank account, and I thought, in my mind, I thought, hey, I'm doing all right. I'm going places, you know, at 25 years old, and got a bank account, nice bank account built up, and I head out on a trip, and just like within the first week of being married, I head out on this trip, and I think I was going to Newark, New Jersey, which was going to take me several days to get out there and get back in that old 1969 Detroit, 238 Detroit, five-speed with a two-speed rear end. Anyway, I won't go off into talking about that much, but anyway, it took several days, and when I got back home from that trip, she had cleaned out my bank account and basically was still living in the little home that we were renting, and basically what I found out was that she was on drugs, and she had hid it from me during the time that we were dating. She was on cocaine, smoking dope, and she was a heavy drinker. But that seemed to be okay when we first met. The drinking part was okay, but I didn't know about. I knew about I think I knew about the marijuana. But I don't know if she was an addict, but she was on some pretty heavy drugs. And so that marriage lasted 22 days. She'd wiped me out to the point where I didn't even have enough money in the account to go get an annulment. I actually talked to an attorney, and he said actually because it's such a short period of time, you could actually get this annulled where it would actually never, ever be on your record as ever having been married. So in my mind, I thought, well, I'll just go ahead, get the divorce, get it over with, and proceed through life, which I did. So I went to got the divorce over with, and seemingly kind of best I could through my own strength back then, I felt as though I was going to get back on track with life. So I didn't really seek out anything that was godly. I just kept on down that worldly path that, I don't know, I think a lot of us have probably maybe been there. Some of you have been where I'm at talking about here, but just thank the Lord that his hand of protection never left me, even though I turned my back on him. His hand was still over me. And as I continued down that worldly trail, I didn't get any help from anyone because I didn't think I needed any help. I thought I was A-okay. Life just kept on happening as it does, and I would occasionally I'd get back in church a little bit. I'd visit church here and there, hit and miss for several years. For actually ended up being, I think back, and it was about 32 years 32 years that I hit and miss church. I'd get in church and I'd leave. And after two more marriages, I got divorced 2 years ago. Lord, 22 years ago, the Lord blessed me with a child, a daughter. Her name's Brooke. Beautiful, a beautiful young lady. I was so blessed to have Brooke in my life. I had a desire, I think most men have a desire to, we have a desire to have a male child. I think most of us men have that desire because we, in my case, I know I wanted to pass on my father's name, my last name, pass it on. And I feel as though, folks, I was thinking about this, and I feel as though probably in my case, and I'll never know, may not know until I get to heaven, and by then it may not matter, but I have a feeling that had I not committed that 110 commandment, had I not committed murder by paying for that abortion, chances are that would might very well have been the man child that God maybe wanted me to have. I don't know. I'll never know. But anyway, I've got divorced a couple years ago, and just life has just thrown me for loops here and there. But during that entire time, that 30 some years that I have been away from God, His hand never of protection, never left me. It was always there. He was there all the time. There'd be times in those 32 years that some dramatic things would happen. And who did I turn to? I turned to the God of my childhood. And how long did I turn to him for? Just long enough to make me feel good enough that I could go ahead and turn my back on him again and walk away once again. And I don't know how many times that happened, folks, but it happened. It happened a few times, maybe quite a few. I'd always turn to God when I had an issue, and then when things were resolved, but what did I do? Went right back to being in the world. But anyway, some of these things that I've told you about may sound familiar. Some of them, I don't know. But December 7th of this last year, Brother Skip and Brother Jimmy had been inviting me to go to church, and so I began to go to church there in Oak Grove where they attended, and as I attended church there with them, I could see something was different about those two guys. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but something was different. Something, it wasn't these two guys, this wasn't the same Jimmy Affalter, and this wasn't the same Skip Etheridge that I had grown to know so many years ago. Something was definitely going on in their lives, and the more I attended and the more I was around them, the more I began to crave. I thought, wow, man, Lord, if you can do this for their lives, what can you do for me? And one morning, December 7th of this last year, about 10 months ago, 10, 11 months ago, I rededicated my life to the Lord. I believe it seemed like it was a Monday or Tuesday morning. And things have not been the same in my life. It's been a slow process. A lot of things have happened. The Lord brought back to my remembrance that afternoon along that riverbank where I promised him that I would serve him the rest of my life. And even though I didn't, even though I 32 years passed or 33 years passed and I didn't serve him, my plan is without bargaining with God this time. My plan is to serve him the rest of my days. And in so doing, the Lord has I am just in the last few days, last week or so, I feel as though the Lord is calling me into some type of a ministry. And I've discussed with one of the pastors at our church about starting a soul winning life group. And the Lord has graciously allowed me to remember those days back when many, many years ago when I was involved in a soul winning class or soul winning group at my church so many years ago. And I have been fortunate enough to be able to go out and witness for him. And when I first began witnessing for him back in March of this year, I was scared. I knew I was supposed to be out witnessing for him, but I was scared. I didn't feel like I could do it. I just didn't feel like I could do it. So I prayed one morning. I asked God, I said, Lord, if it's witnessing that you'd have me to do, please give me, I pleaded with God, please give me boldness. And I'll tell you what, folks, on that morning, when I prayed that prayer, shortly thereafter, God gave me boldness. And it was a boldness like I have never in my life experienced. And I wasn't specific. I didn't say, God, give me boldness in the witnessing aspect of my life. I just asked him for boldness. And he has given me boldness in every area of my life. Skip, Jimmy, and some of the people that knew me from way back when know I was pretty quiet. I was not a very talkative, especially at a young age. I wasn't very talkative. I just kind of kept to myself and just wasn't very quiet. I didn't have a lot to say. I was pretty quiet young man. But as the years have gone by, and now that I've asked the Lord for boldness and he's given me boldness, he's put me before people, and it's just been a slow process, but it's just, I can just see it being something that he's just, excuse me, it's just been like a building block situation where he's just allowing me to, maybe a staircase situation, I should say, where I'm able to just take a small baby step, and it just keeps letting me take those small baby steps to keep heading for that almighty purpose of basically in my life, what I'm feeling the Holy Spirit's leading me to do is to do what the Bible talks about, and that is go ye into all the world. I don't know that I'm going to have the opportunity to go into all the world, but it talks about going into Judea, Jerusalem, and the outermost parts of the world. I think I'm going to probably be able to, and I know I'm going to be able to witness to those in the general area where I live. So anyway, the Lord has just been opening doors just in the last few days that somehow I'm going to be involved in a soul-winning group at our church. And I just know that he's going to allow me to do some great things before his second coming, before he comes, before the rapture, before we're raptured out as a church. I just feel as though he's going to use me. And I just thank you all so much. I just what I thank the Lord for this line, I just feel as though had Brother Skip back a year and a half or 2 years ago, however long it's been, maybe a couple years ago when the Lord began to prompt him to working on him about opening up this line. I feel as though had not Brother Skip been willing to follow the lead of the Lord, I just feel as though there's a pretty good chance that I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And I just praise the Lord that Skip didn't that he didn't let the enemy distract him, and that he has allowed the Lord to use him and use this line in such a mighty, mighty way. And I'd like to just open it up now for anyone that would want to speak up and just give a praise or tell us what this line means to you or has meant to you, or just I want to open it up now for anyone that wants to share.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity. It was a great testimony. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing. For me, I really enjoy the fellowship. As a truck driver, it does kind of get lonely. Don't get to go to a traditional four-wall church, corporate worship, and corporate prayer. But programs like this allow that. They allow the sharing, the edifying, the building up, the encouraging, the leaning on that we get from each other. We're able to lean on each other, able to pray for one another, able to just, you know, be real. There's something I like about this ministry in particular. There's a couple of more out there, but the brothers and the sisters here seem to understand that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And we all need, you know, we all need someone that can we can confess our faults to. Okay?
Yeah.
You got a fault with this, and hey, brothers, maybe sister, would you pray with me? Would you go before the throne of God with me? And that's something I really enjoy.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Brother Rick.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, it was a great testimony, brother. And I know what you're going through. A lot of that seemed like it was real kind of close to the lines that I've rode, you know, before. I want to tell you, this line's been a blessing for me, you know. And whenever I rededicated my life to the Lord, and, you know, these kind of hours and stuff, and I ride down the road and I called some of my buddies to try to witness to them. I wanted to talk about the Lord, but they was wanting to talk about way worldly things. And whenever I found out about this, you know, I got back to Skip, found out that he had been walking close to the Lord, and, you know, everything just kind of happened. You know, I guess God led me to this path. And what a great way in the morning, you know, to be with people and edify the Lord and praise the Lord and worship. Just, I mean, you know, I believe we've become a little close-knit family, you know, even though
Amen.
I've never seen your face or nothing, but, you know, we're all brothers and sisters, and, you know, it's just
Amen.
Been a real blessing to be able to, you know, to be able to talk about the Lord and just, man, to hear everybody's testimony how great he is. Because he is the great I am, and it's a great blessing, this line is. And y'all tolerate my singing, and I ain't never, y'all might be on mute crying or laughing, but at least y'all tolerate. Y'all ain't kicked me off for it, but, you know, that means something, too.
Amen.
Amen. I got to say, Sister Fran, I just want you to know your willingness to give your testimony last week, or week before last, whenever it was such an encouragement to me, and to helped me realize that, you know, Fran got on here and did this. I can get on here and do this. And I want
to... Amen, brother. Well, I was just getting ready to say that he is truly a patient Lord, and his arms are open when we're ready. Amen.
Amen.
And,
hallelujah.
And also... I related with you, Rick, about, you know, going to church all through the times when I was going through my my trials and tribulation, which I brought on myself, that I would go to church. Just it was like a, oh, I'll go get my cup filled and feel good for a little while, then go back to the world. I can relate there. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
And I just thank you for your testimony. And I tell you what, this line, I'm not a truck driver. I don't have to get up at 4:15 or whatever time in the morning, but you know what? It's food. This is food for my soul, and I thank my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you, and I just thank you so much for this line because it gets me going every morning. I miss it. Even on the weekends, I think, oh, wow, because it is. It's just so good to be able to fellowship and praise and worship the Lord with my brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
Something I wanted to say, I had planned on saying, and I didn't get it in my testimony, didn't get it out, but I was supposed to do this, I believe, a day after Fran did hers, or a day or two after, and this I was supposed to have done it, I think, about a week or two ago, and I text Skip the day before and told him that I wasn't ready, that I needed more time. So he graciously went ahead and got someone to take my place that morning or what have you. And I want to tell you all why I didn't get on here and do this 2 weeks ago. I had fallen back. I had picked up that old can of chew again. Pleasing to God, nothing real dramatic, nothing terrible, but just some little things. And there had been some times in the last month or so, I would when you are a cigarette smoker or you use tobacco, when you first get up in the morning, that desire for that tobacco is great. Those of you that are blessed and not ever had this, never smoked or chewed tobacco, you won't relate. But those of you that have will relate that the amazing draw. When I get up in the morning, I would be looking for that can of chew. I had to get that can of chew even before my cup of coffee. I had to have a can of chew. I had to have a pinch of chew. And there was a few times this last month that I was sitting here in my home enjoying my little pinch of chew for the morning, and would be asked to sing. And I would try to muddle through a song with my chew in my mouth. I don't know how it sounded, but anyway, neither here nor there. But I had fallen away a little bit. And I knew I wasn't ready. And so I gave up chewing again about 12 days ago. And the Lord in all his gracious might took the desire away from me again.
Yeah.
And I did not have to go through those terrible, terrible withdrawals. I just said, Lord, please allow me one more time your grace to take away the desire that I have for this horrible tobacco. Lord, just take away that desire. And he did. He so graciously took away that desire. And I had some withdrawals, but I didn't have the normal withdrawals. And I just praise the Lord that I did not have those terrible. And I don't know if those of you that have chewed or have smoked know the withdrawals I'm talking about. Praise him that he took away that desire once again. So that's why you're hearing me speak today and not 2 weeks ago. Thank you.
Yeah. Rick, I'd like to thank you and Fran both for the testimony and everything that y'all give. I've been through a lot, dealing with a lot of stuff, kind of like what you've been talking about. This line to me has really changed my life over the past, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months, however long it is we've been coming up here. When I first started coming up here, I was quiet, which I still am pretty quiet, but the last thing that I thought I would ever be doing when we first started coming up here on this line would be singing online, much less singing at church. Now I'm trying to learn songs and be able to do here online and sing on church and that. I have been dealing with a lot of stuff, you know, throughout the years, and I just been, you know, pushing him back like you have was talking.
Amen.
And the Lord's been laying a lot on me. I feel like he has put a calling on me.
Amen, brother.
Trying to get, you know, figure out everything, but he's slowly revealing everything to me and that. And
amen.
I hope, you know, pray sometime in the future I'll be able to step up here and get my business on and everything like y'all have. And
amen.
Without this line, I'd still be stuck where I was at.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Well, I'll tell you for sure, this line, God has done some amazing things on this line.
Yes, he has.
And it's beyond anything I could ever have imagined when Chuck and I and Greg and Billy Bob and Doug started talking about this and had no idea. It's changed my life.
Amen.
It is and we've seen healing on this line while we were on the line. We get praise reports all the time for prayers, and that's one of the things about this line that's so awesome. Someone has a prayer request, and boom, in no time, we got 30-some people praying for it.
Amen.
Due to technology that God has put in our hands that I didn't think I'd ever use, a text message. Someone needs prayer. The text goes out to 30-some people, and he got people praying immediately.
Amen.
And we're constantly getting praise reports on things like that. And the most incredible, most incredible thing is the people that we have crossed paths with. None of this was by accident.
Mm-mm.
The Holy Spirit has orchestrated this whole thing for us all to be here at this specific time for a specific reason. And I truly believe all the things we've seen in the past, the things that are going on right now, I don't think we've seen anything yet.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. I feel the way Brother Skip does, and I just want to say that everything he said, plus I've never felt more accepted anywhere in my life. I've never felt like the Holy Spirit has been able to move in the way the Holy Spirit wants to move any other place in my life. And I just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And I'm so glad I'm a part of this family, and his family.
Amen.
And I thank him for that. Jesus.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joy, hallelujah, as we travel along. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God.
Amen.
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 I made up a few
words there. Amen. Brother Rick, this is Sister Patsy. I enjoyed your testimony so much, and I just praise God, you know, that God brought out some such beautiful points in your life and how others of us can relate to it. And this line means a lot to me because I am on the road a lot, and I don't get to be in church very much. And, you know, I think about forsake not the assembling of thyself together. And when we come up on these lines in one mind and one accord, you know, we're doing exactly that. And it's Amen. Just such an encouragement. And I do agree with my other brothers and sisters about how the prayers go out, you know. And when those prayers come through, Brother Skip sends them out. You know, it's important because if it's one of us that needs prayer, we certainly want somebody to pray. And so I try, you know, whatever I'm doing, to stop right that moment, you know, in my mind, whatever, and pray for those requests. But I love, just like Sister Fran said, I love each one of you with the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm just so thankful for the lines.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. And I want Amen. Just what she just said, I just want to add to, I love each and every one of you also in the Lord.
Amen.
Anyone else want to say what the line's done for them or means to them?
Well, I'll tell you what means the most to me is God our Father, Jesus Christ, His Son, our Savior. And I thank them both and the Holy Spirit, too, for showing up. I know we invited them, but, you know, they are all three just to show up in our lives. And that's what this whole line's about. It's all about the glory of God. And I just pray the Lord that He showed up in each and every one of us.
Amen.
You can talk about the line. It's not about the line. It's about our God.
Yes.
You can talk about each other. It's not about each one of us. It's about our God. And I just pray the Lord today that He's shown up each and every way. You know, because of our God, He showed up in one of my brother's lives one morning when I was standing up on top of the hill on the line with pain in my foot. The Lord showed up and I had a brother pray for me and I was healed right there on the spot.
Amen.
Yeah, I remember
Amen.
That morning.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I also had an addiction to tobacco. Oh, I sure like that Copenhagen. I never wanted to give it up. Well, I mean, I did in one sense, but never truly wanted to. You know, the Lord, He stayed on me for about 2 months. He finally delivered me from something that I knew I needed to get delivered from and didn't even want to get delivered from. Amen.
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 So, praise God in all His glory.
Yes.
And His wisdom and His grace. And thank God for His mercy. For a sinner like me, amen.
Amen.
You know, Brother Greg.
How long has it been, Greg?
Huh?
How long has it been? When he delivered you from the chewing tobacco, how long has it been now?
Oh, middle of April, I guess.
Okay.
Early April.
Amen.
I could actually go back and tell you by looking at my logbook what day it was, Brother Greg, because It was on that morning that you got online here and told us about how he had delivered you, that I had once again fallen back and picked up that can of chew again, and I had a big old chew in my mouth when you got online that morning and told us that you had once again been delivered. And that choked me at what I had in my mouth when you said that. And I was, when I left, I started praying after we got off the line that morning. And I headed down the road. I was down in the rest area, down in Oklahoma. And as I headed down the road, I took that can of chew and I threw it out the window. God delivered me then, and then I got back into chewing again. So I'm pretty sure with God's help, this time's the last time. No more.
Amen.
No more chewing, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you that you were willing to get on and tell that you'd slipped back into chewing and that the Lord had delivered you. Thank you for sharing back in April. Because that was for me, brother, just so you know.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, because when I came on and gave that little testimony, I knew that, and I knew it was for somebody on the line. I didn't know who, but the Lord just, yeah. That's the good thing about having the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal many things to you, will teach you many things, and lead you down the right path. Just praise the Lord. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing up. Amen.
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 Amen. Oh man, that you tell me that, you know, somehow. It's just a blessing, just a great blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I had no idea until just recently just how spirit filled this world that we live in. Yes, I just never had. I had no idea.
Amen.
I just didn't. Sad to say, I just didn't realize.
The question is, you know, you have a choice whether you're gonna seek the good spirits or the bad spirits.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Rick, one thing I'd like to add is the fact that we put aside religion on these lines, and it's all about the love and the praise of you know, our Lord Jesus Christ and worshiping Him and keeping that first commandment, I think. You know, we're supposed to love Him with all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our being, you know, and I think we do that up here, and I praise God for that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
That's right.
Amen. Not about religion, it's about relationship, right?
Exactly.
Amen.
Yes.
Yep. Because we can sure get hung up on religion really quick. We can get off track talking about this or that when it all comes down to it. It's a matter of whether or not for sure when you die that you're going to go to heaven. The most important thing in my mind.
Yeah.
Amen.
What a day that will be, amen.
Yeah, there we go. What a glorious day that will be when His face we shall see, amen.
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 Amen, sister.
There'll be a song about that, you know.
I know. Somebody ought to sing that song right now.
Does anybody know?
I think, doesn't Luke sing that or Chris? One of those two sings that.
Brother Chris.
Give me one second and I will sing it there. I'm just going in a real sharp curve here. Sometimes I lose my signal there. I don't want to make sure it drop out and get singing there. Alrighty. There is coming a day
when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I looked upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that'll be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. As he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that'll be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day that'll be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that'll be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Ooh-wee.
Yes.
Amen, brother. Does anyone else have anything you want to share? What the line means to them or anything else? A blessing?
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Brother Jimmy here, buddy.
Brother Jim, good to have you on here, brother.
Yeah. Hey, well, I'll show you a little bit what the line means to me.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've been on here, you know. It's been kind of sporadic. But I had set my alarm clock this morning at 4:15. And I think I got to bed I got to sleep about midnight. And at 4:15, that alarm clock went off. I fell out of bed.
Oh, my.
I mean, I fell out on the floor. And I was like, what in the world? And I looked up at it, it was 4:15. And it said, I told myself, oh, yeah, hey, I'm going to get online this morning. So at 4:15 this morning, buddy, when that buzzer went off, I hit the floor. And so I think it was very important for me to be on here this morning to listen to your testimony, my friend.
Mm.
And I was a big part of your life back in those days, and I remember those days very, very well.
Mm.
And it was... We went through some prowling times back then, buddy.
Yeah, we did.
And I remember those days. And I was part of your problem back back then, I prompted you to do lots of things that you knew better and that I knew better, but the enemy had such a hold on us back then that I know I talked you into doing a lot of things that you didn't want to do. And the good Lord's working. He's working us through it. And I'm very proud of you, my friend, being so bold. I have seen a boldness come out in you. And it moves me, my friend. It moves me. I'm very proud of you and the accomplishments that you have done. And the boldness that you have are sharing with these people that you don't know. But the Lord has given you that boldness. And I want you to continue to keep that boldness going. God loves you, and you are returning that love to strangers that you don't even know, man, that you meet, and he's giving you the boldness to speak to them. And I am so, so proud of you, my friend. I've seen the change in you. And all three of us, Skip and you, we have changed things in our lives, but that was an amazing testimony, my friend, and I remember those days because I was there with you.
Yeah.
And you just keep up that boldness, buddy. Because God's using you for a vessel, man. He's cruising you all over the place right now.
Thank you, brother, for those words of encouragement. And you know, I think back of those days that you're just talking about, and you know, the way I look at that, the good Lord, the magnificent Master that we serve, has basically turned the tables on the enemy. The enemy had control of our lives back then, and now the Lord has totally turned the tables, brother. Turned the tables just 360 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's walking towards him instead of away from him, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your friendship over the years, brother, your encouragement. You know, you say you prompted me to try to do things that I shouldn't have been doing. Well, I feel the same, that I did the same, brother. We just kind of was in that, we were in that arena together, doing things we knew we shouldn't have been doing, but we just kept on doing them. Just, I don't know. It's kind of I look back and it's funny now, but wow. One night in particular, I can recall, Brother Jimmy and I had gone out and we'd partied hard on a Friday night and got back to my place. And those of you that have drank know that there's times when you get drunk and you just keep on craving more and more. And we got back to my place. And Brother Jimmy, he was really craving some more alcohol. We had run out of money. We didn't have a dime to our name. And we got back to my place probably at 3 or 4 in the morning. And I had a bottle of Aqua Velva sitting on my counter, on my desktop. And he picked up that bottle of Aqua Velva and drank it down like it was nothing, like it was water. I just give you an idea just where we were at. And I just thank the Lord that I can just visualize it as, once again, he has taken that desire from that alcohol that we used to have and turned it into the desire for the living water, that living water only he can provide. and I just thank him so much that he's brought me and my brothers, Skip and Jimmy, out of that, the depths of those things that we used to have desire for and turned our attention on him, that we no longer have desires, that we only desire his will, his perfect will in our lives. Just praise him for it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Ain't God good.
You know, back in the days, it wasn't so much that one talked the other and into something they didn't want to do. It was we were all kind of just living in the world and then feeding off each other's stupidity at the same time.
Exactly.
And,
yep.
What one didn't come up with, the other one would. But even yet, even then when we were living like that, isn't it amazing that he still knew the people you needed in your life at that point? And
Amen.
Even though we wasn't living right, we still had each other in some crazy way. He made it all work out.
And amazing.
Thank God that he didn't give up on us, that's for sure. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Skip, if you'd asked me a few weeks ago if I could have got on here and given my testimony, brother, without using any script and been on here for an hour, I'd have said that that's not going to happen. Mm. No way could. But Sister Susan so graciously opening with prayer, as she was praying, the Holy Spirit just come over me in a mighty way and just gave me those words to share with you guys this morning. And I just thank you, Sister Susan, for being willing to pray for me. And I just thank you all, as you do pray for me, just keep me in mind that I went forward to church this last Sunday. And the pastor, part of his message was about making a difference in this world. And I went forward, was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go forward, and was prayed for. And the reason I went forward was because I want to be a difference in this world. I want to make a difference in this world. And pray that you all would just continue to pray for me, that the Lord would just direct me, give me direction as to what he wants me to do, and then I'd be willing to continue to follow. Thank you all so much. Thanks for putting up with me when I maybe said things in the past that maybe shouldn't have said on here. But when it all comes right down to it, it's all about forgiveness. It's all about love. And as long as we keep on sharing Jesus' love, we keep being a mirror and reflecting that love through others, things are all going to be all right. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, Brother Rick, thank you so much for being so open. Thank you so much for being who God has got you being today. And I just want to sing a song that's a testimony song to my life that you might be able to relate to this morning.
Amen.
I'm after time. You've been left behind like the sun when it started to rain. Time after time, you've been forgot like a picture that's faded with age. Time after time, you ran after me when I was still running away. You never gave up on me, Lord, you never gave up on me. Though I am weak, you are strong. You told me I still belong. Lord, you never gave up on me. Time after time, I used your grace as a way to do what I please. I've taken for granted prayers that you answered, never been all I could be. But you are holding out your hand, and now I clearly see you never give up on me. Lord, you never give up on me. You always erase all my mistakes. You lift me up when I'm down. Through all the ages, your love never changes. You welcome me just as I am. You never give up on me. Lord, you never give up on me. Though I am weak, you are strong. You tell me I still belong. Lord, you never give up on me. Thank you so much, Lord, for not giving up on us.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, Lord,
amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Susan.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-mm.
Thank you.
You know, for later on, you know, when you're thinking about that song or you're going through that where the devil's telling you, you know, lying on you, let's see if you can remember Psalm 40. I think Psalm 40 goes really well with that song that was just sung. So when you get time, look that up.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, I've got that right here, right in front of me. Want me to read it?
Sure. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, your wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. I will declare and speak of them. They are more and can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written to me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness in your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame, who say to me, ah, ah. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thanks upon me. You are my help and deliver. Do not delay, O my God. There's a lot of words. There's a lot of scripture in there that we've all have been have done and then faced. But we just need to keep crying out for our Lord Jesus Christ. We just need to keep crying out for Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Thanks for sharing that. Wow. If we could just live that. If we could just live Psalm 40. Wow.
You live it every day.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
You realize that was written long before Christ came.
That's right.
That was written long before Christ came. That was written before grace. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, and see, the Father said, sin offerings I did not want. See? And you see how King David is a great example. A great example for us in many ways. First and foremost, how to pray. How to pray, how to pour. He poured his heart out before the Lord. We can learn to do the same thing. Another thing is King David's faults. Okay? Now it's written in the New Testament that murderers and adulterers shall not go into heaven. But King David's written in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. See, even though he fell, even though he sinned, even though his iniquities were more numerous than the hairs on his head, God still held him up. God still pulled him out of that fiery pit. God still set his feet up. God still protected him. God still poured his mercy out on him. God still poured his loving kindness out on him. Was it because, oh, this is King David? No. It's because King David set his heart upon the Lord. See, he set his heart upon the Lord. Yeah, he messed up. In Romans, I don't have the chapter and verse memorized, but in Romans it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. All. So we are going to sin. We're going to mess up. It's going to happen. But yet, we have Psalm 40, okay, along with many, many others. But Psalm 40, I don't know, the Holy Spirit just ministered that thing while she was singing. And we live that every day because every day we sin, but every day we set our heart upon the Lord. Every day we fall, every day He picks us up. Every day we praise Him in the sanctuary. We praise Him in the congregation. He's not talking about the congregation of the church. He's talking about the congregation of your neighborhood. You see, he's shouting it from the rooftops. We live in that every day. And the Lord holds us every day. And when we can wrap our minds around this feeble mind of ours, this mind that, you know, it only has so much. When we can finally wrap it around the idea that you can't be taken away from God, you can't be taken, okay, plucked away from God. It's different than walking away. Can't be plucked away from God. Okay? When we wrap our minds around that, we finally are becoming secure in the love of the Father. The love of the Father. A lot of times we read the Old Testament, we look at all this judgment and all this, do this now and do this, and the, you know, he didn't do that. Guy got ate by a lion, or he got struck down dead, or he did this, and it's just instant judgment. And we forget, you know, that the Father loves us so much. You know, he wrote this before he sent his Son. And before the earth was founded, before the earth was founded, before the Spirit hovered over the waters, before he said, let there be light, Jesus Christ was ordained to come down here and pay for our sins. He knew about it. And he still can prove it. It's the greatest love story ever told. How he loves us. How he loves us. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I got.
Amen, boy.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Patsy, are you still on here?
I know she's at her delivery, Brother Rick. She might have to stay muted.
All right. Well, I felt led to sing this song, one I've never sang before on here, but it kind of goes hand in hand with what Sister Patsy said earlier about being out on the old road and being so busy that oftentimes you don't get to church, aren't able to be at church. I just want to dedicate it to Sister Patsy. Hopefully she's on here and can hear. But the name of the song is Surely the Presence of the Lord is in This Place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the midst of his children, the Lord said he would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt so many times before. Surely I can say I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy rush, a holy hush around us as his glory fills this place. I've touched the hem of his garment. I can almost see his face, and my heart is overflowing with the fullness of his joy. I know without a doubt that I've I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. I'm going to stop the recording. We can continue to visit. I just want to say that I appreciate Rick sharing this morning. And I would invite again anyone, if you want to come on some more and give your testimony, just get with me. We'll set up a date to do it. Lord, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for this time that we've had together, Lord, and the testimony that Brother Rick has shared with us. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to use these lives to help lift us up, build each other up. Lord, we just pray that we'll always be able to be a witness for you in every way we, every area of our life, everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go. I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be on this line with people every morning that enjoy being in your presence and giving you praise, glory, and honor. Lord, I just pray for everyone this morning to have safe travels wherever they're going, a good peaceful rest, those that are going to bed and those that are getting their day started. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with them this day. Let your presence be around them, about them throughout this day, Lord, and let them feel your presence. Lord, I pray for the gathering that we have coming up in October. Lord, as we will go there and like the song goes, we won't leave there like we came, in Jesus' name, Lord, will each and every one of us be touched. We'll be able to leave there and be totally different people. Lord, I pray that our spiritual eyes and ears are open like never before, like we've never imagined. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We praise that we will pray that we'll never, ever take you for granted and all the blessings you give us. Lord, we'll always be reminded to give you thanks, put you first in everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.